Lord, we our comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go?
Amen.
Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone.
Bless them, Lord.
We get along in sweet accord.
Oh, listen.
But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord?
What about that, glory to God?
Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word.
Amen.
Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord?
Amen.
Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end.
Yeah.
Where could I go but to the Lord?
Amen.
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 All right, they could have picked a better song to go with my message tonight. And I know the Lord must have been in that. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of Exodus tonight, if you would, Exodus chapter 16 tonight. Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading in verse 14 tonight, and read through verse 22 tonight. All right, we've been preaching through the book of Exodus, and the Lord's let us continue to do that, and not necessarily verse by verse, but somewhat chapter by chapter, not even that. But we begin our reading tonight in verse number 14. And the Bible said, when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wished not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather it of every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Thank you, be seated. Our Father, Lord, we bless today. Thank you for it. And Lord, we thank you for the good numbers come out tonight. Lord, we know you expect us to. I believe you said that we're not forsake the assembling of ourselves. But we know folks don't have to, and so, Lord, we appreciate those that do. And, Lord, we ask tonight that, Lord, I know our hearts have been blessed for the good singing tonight, congregational, and then the special numbers that was selected tonight that ministered our heart, makes us think about heaven, the things of God, kind of prepares our heart for the receiving of the Word of God. And Lord, I ask you tonight to help me to preach out of my heart tonight what you put in it into somebody else's heart tonight. And Lord, may we truly tonight receive manna from above. And Lord, we'll be careful tonight to thank you for all you do. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I love bread. There's nothing better to me than good, fresh bread. I don't think there's anything any better than that. I used to think I couldn't eat a meal without it until I got diabetes and I had to give up a lot. Used to, I could buy a whole loaf of fresh bread and probably sit down and eat the whole loaf without anything. I just loved it. There was nothing better than that. I thought I couldn't eat a meal without bread. I wanted biscuits for breakfast. I wanted rolls or light bread, they call it, light bread that makes you heavy. I wanted that for my lunch, and then I wanted cornbread for supper. Amen. And I just didn't think I could eat without it, and I still like all of that. One of my great disappointments when we first married was I found out my wife didn't know how to make biscuits. And she made some biscuits there one morning. We first got married. And this is honest truth. She cut them out with an RC Coke top. And they looked like them little wedding cookies, like you used to buy, you know. And I come in there, and she got them out, and I looked at them, and I said, "What's this?" That's what they said about the matter. "What's this?" And I learned a great lesson. Real quick, hadn't been married too long, but I learned you don't never say this don't look like mama's. Or this don't taste like mama's. Bad deal, amen. But I say now, she can make them now. She does often make them. They're the right size and everything, and they're good. And I love bread. I do. She made some cornbread the other night, and it was that yellow cornmeal. And man, was that good. I tell you, it was. Diabetes or no diabetes, I had to eat about 5 or 6 of them. And it was really good, really good. And you know, that's what this manna was. It was bread. The Bible tells us that here in the text. The Bible tells us, what is it, verse 22. He said, they gathered twice as much bread. So this manna was bread. Jesus, he affirms that and the truth of this story in John chapter 6. Jesus said, they said our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said, one of them great I ams, he said, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Amen.
And so Jesus tells us there in John 6 that what we read about over here in Exodus 16, he said that manna was a type of him. And I want to preach tonight on Jesus' bread. Because this manna was a type of Jesus. And we're going to see that in three ways tonight, that this manna tells us something about Jesus. I want to be accused of being a Bible preacher and found guilty. I don't believe that anything helps people more than the Word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept, learning your Bible, understanding your Bible will help you more than anything else that I know of.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
The greatest antidote for false teaching and false prophets is the truth in your heart.
Amen.
To know the Word of God.
Yeah.
An old preacher said one time, he said, knowing your Bible will unfit you for a lot of sermons. And there's a lot of truth to that. Amen. Because a lot of sermons are just not true. We look here in the Word of God, and I want to say this first of all, that this manna, that it explains to us who Jesus is. This manna tells us about the Lord, and I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know all about Jesus that I can know about. I'm a Baptist. Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. But I want you to know, my friend, that I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. Because Jesus died on the cross for my sins, rose for my justification, and He saved me by the grace of God. And I'm glad for the Lord. Amen tonight. But we can read these verses here, and we'll see how they tell us something about Jesus.
Amen.
You say, how so, Brother Rick? Well, let's just look at them here in Exodus 16, verse 14. And notice that the Bible says there the size of this thing. It said it was small. It was small. The size of this bread, this manna, that it was a small thing. Did you know that Jesus came to this earth? He decided to come as a human being, and He came in the smallest form that He could possibly come. Amen. That's why Philippians said He humbled Himself. He came all the way down. He humbled Himself. Was born in the form of a little baby. We know the Bible said that a virgin would conceive, bring forth a child, and call His name Jesus. And that's what happened. Amen. Did you ever think about this? The first man, Adam, he was made as a full-grown, mature man. And he sinned and lost everything. But the second Adam came as a little bitty baby, grown up in the manhood, never did sin. And thank God, I paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary. But he came as a little small thing, and he growed up as a man. Amen. Of course, he was born there in Bethlehem. He was there in a stable.
Yeah,
we shouldn't be surprised about that, because all the sacrificial animals in the Old Testament, they're all stable animals.
Right. Yeah.
When you think about Abel's lamb, that's a stable animal. Amen. You think about Isaac's ram, that's a stable animal. You think about Abraham's heifer. You see, they're all stable animals. So it's just fitting that our Lord would come and be born in a stable. Amen. We see the size here. It was a small thing. Then we see here, look in verse 14 again. We were told the shape of it. It was a round. A small round thing. Round thing. You say, what's that mean, Brother Rick? Well, you probably remember if you're married. You probably remember if they used the standard wedding form. Somewhere down through there, they asked for the ring, and they held up the ring, and they said the ring is being a symbol of eternity, having no beginning, a circle having no beginning, having no end. And so it's a type of eternity. Amen.
Amen.
And so when we see here, this manna was round, the Bible said. It was round, was the shape of it. And so our Lord, He was born in Bethlehem, but He didn't start there.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Yep. No, His human life started there. Right. God prepared for Him a body.
Amen.
But he was back there before He got here. Amen.
Well, John Baptist.
Melchizedek, you know, he's a type of the Lord. And in Hebrews 7, he said, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being an interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also the king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. That's saying that the Lord, He had no beginning or end. In eternity He did, earthly speaking, but not in eternity. And so that's why that this manna is pictured as a round thing. Amen.
Amen.
Speaks of our Lord's eternality of our Lord, that he was eternal. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
The Bible said, amen. I believe that, don't you?
Amen.
The Bible says here again, in verse 31, the Bible tells us the shade of this. And it says there that it was white. It was white. We're talking about how this manna pictures our Lord. It was small, a little small thing, and our Lord started as a little baby. You know, maybe 6 pounds, 7 ounces. I don't know how big he was, but I know he was small. And then the shape speaks of it. He was an eternal being. He was an eternal being. He was God. But then the shade is white, and that speaks to us of the fact of his purity.
Amen.
Amen.
His purity. Our Lord was as pure as the driven snow. Amen.
Amen.
Purer than that.
Right.
The Song of Solomon said, talking about the bride, which is pictured as a church, and she says, my beloved is white, she said. Talking about his purity.
Right.
I'm glad the Lord's pure tonight.
Amen.
That's how we're going to get to go to heaven.
Right.
Because he's pure.
Right. Amen.
Preacher said this morning that if we had to depend upon our righteousness, we could not make it.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen.
Yeah.
And people often, if you've done any personal work, you've been told this a lot of times, well, preacher,
right,
I want to get saved, but I can't live it.
Yeah. Amen, Brother Rick.
You know what I've often told them? You're telling the truth.
That's yep. Right.
You can't live it.
Amen.
Not good enough to get to heaven.
That's right.
You know how good you'd have to be to get to heaven? You'd have to be perfect.
Right.
You'd have to be perfect.
Amen.
And ain't nobody perfect.
Amen.
All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, the Bible said.
Right.
But there was one that came down and was born as a baby that lived a perfect life.
Amen.
Never one time did he sin in any way, in thought, word, or deed. And he died upon the cross. He took our sins upon himself. And he gave us his righteousness when we believe on him.
Amen.
Trust him. And that's how we're going to heaven. We're not going in our righteousness. We're going in his righteousness. Thank God.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say there, unless somebody runs out and says, well, it don't matter how we live, it does matter how we live.
Amen.
For a witness, for a testimony, in that way, and we ought to honor our Lord and live a good life as we can live. But aren't you glad he made provision? And he said, I don't want you to sin. But he said, if you do, he said, there's an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, and if you'll confess your sin, he'll forgive you of your sin. Amen.
Amen.
So people ought to confess their sin every day.
Amen.
People, so every now and then somebody say, preacher, I don't believe I sin every day. You haven't read your Bible much, have you?
Amen.
And I'll tell you what a cure of that is, just get your Bible and concordance and go through there and write down everything the Bible says is sin. And if that don't convince you, you got a problem somewhere.
Amen.
Now, we ought to try to live the best we can. I like what one writer said. He said Christians are not sinless, but they ought to sin less.
Amen.
I like that, don't you?
Yes.
We ought to strive to live right. We ought to strive to do right.
Yeah.
But the Lord, he lived a perfect life for us.
Amen.
Amen. I'm in him. He lived a perfect life for us. And then I see here in verse 31, they said the taste of it was like wafers made with honey.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody said that was a vanilla wafer. Well, it sounds like it, don't it? We used to eat them, and when I was at home, we'd eat them by the boxes. I guess they was cheapest, and so that's what Mom would buy, having 7 kids. And I don't remember too much banana pudding, but I remember a lot of them vanilla wafers. I guess we didn't have the banana and the pudding to go with them. At that time, with 7 kids, and Mama doing the best she could. But he said the taste of it was like honey. I like honey, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, honey's one of the best, probably one of the best foods there is on the earth, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Bill knows this, but you can take a jar of honey and just leave it up in the cabinet and let it get all hard and crusty and looks like it needs to be thrown out. You can just put that in the microwave. Heat it up a little bit, as good as it was before, amen. I've been using the honey in my coffee. When I make coffee in the morning, because this diabetes, I hadn't used sugar for a long time, but the other day somebody said, Brother Rick said, you ought to put some honey in there. And so I started putting a big spoonful of honey in there every morning. It's good.
Yeah.
And sweetens it real good. And if the coffee's got a bitter taste to it, of course mine don't, but if the coffee's got a bitter taste to it, it'll take that out of it. Amen. I tell you, it's good for you. Y'all know about Brother Roark. He had that cancer and everything, and he went to that doctor, and I won't go through all of it, but one thing that doctor told him to do, he said, do be sure, don't forget this. But he said, every morning, he said, you take you a big tablespoon full of honey and said, put all of the cinnamon on it, you get on it to stay. And he said, you take that every morning, he said. And of course, he did a lot of other things too, but if you've seen him, he's a picture of health. He's throwing his blood pressure medicine away because he don't need it. I throw mine away, but I need it. I had to go back and get it back down. But he don't have any cancer. He just told me the other day he went back for a checkup, and it ain't even point nothing. So you know that honey's good for him.
Yeah, man, it's what the
good for him. But you know, you'd have to taste it to know that. He said the taste of it was like honey, he said.
Amen.
So you'd have to taste that. Now, Brother Eddie, if he had never had no honey, I could take the jar and say, Brother Eddie, don't this look good? And look how clear it is, and look at that golden color. And I'd tell you, don't it look good? And he'd say, yeah, it looks good, Brother Rick. I'd say, how's it taste? And he'd say, well, I don't know. I hadn't tasted any of it. He's got a taste, you see. And a lot of people, you know, you meet people, you don't know why they don't get saved. Why don't they follow the Lord? Why don't they live for the Lord? Why don't they do that? I'll tell you why, because they've never tasted
it. Amen.
See, Psalms 34, verse 8, it said, oh, taste the Lord and see that He is good.
Woo!
I'll tell you, if you ever taste the Lord, yeah, and see how good He is.
Amen.
That's why I say backsliders always come back if they're really saved.
Amen.
You say why? Because they leave here going out there looking for something better. There ain't nothing better.
That's right. That's right.
And so they always come back. They may think there's something better, but if you've ever really been saved and ever really know the Lord, there is nothing better than the Lord.
Amen.
So they said it was sweet.
Yeah.
Jesus is sweet tonight.
Yeah, he is.
Amen. Isn't he sweet?
Yeah.
Amen. I'll tell you, his word's sweet.
Amen.
Yeah, the Bible said, the old prophet said, his word was sweet to my taste like honey.
Amen.
You say, yeah, he said it's bitter too. Yeah, there's some of that in there too.
Yeah.
But his word is sweet. I'll tell you, his spirit's sweet.
Amen.
We sang that old song, sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. Amen. If it's sweet when the Spirit of God shows up, there's nothing like it.
Amen.
It can't be imitated, duplicated, worked up. If it is, it just ain't got that same feeling, that same taste. Thank God. When the Holy Spirit shows up, He's sweet. Jesus is sweet. His Word's sweet. His Spirit's sweet. His people are sweet when they're full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see, well, I know some Christians ain't too sweet. I said when they're full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When they're full of the devil and full of the world, they're not sweet. Amen.
Amen.
But boy, when they're full of the Holy Ghost, they're sweet.
Amen.
Old Bud Robinson, you know, he said he got diabetes. He went to the doctor. He didn't know he had it. The doctor chicken come back in there and said, Bud, he had a speech impediment. He said, Bud, he said, I got some bad news for you. He said, what is it? He said, you got diabetes. He said, what's that mean? He said, it means you got a lot of sugar in your body. And old Bud said, oh, bless the Lord. So I've been praying. He'd make it sweeter and sweeter. And he done overdone it. Amen. But I'm telling you, listen, Jesus is sweet. And I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know.
Amen.
The Lord's sweet.
Yeah.
That man explains to us who Jesus is.
That's right.
But that man illustrates how Jesus came. Verses 13 and 14. It said, it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. Now, while they brought a lot of stuff from Egypt, you know, we read over there, when they got ready to leave, the Lord said, go borrow some stuff. And they just want to get them out of there, so they give them whatever they wanted. They give them all they needed and all they had, and they come out of there pretty wealthy people. And somebody said, they stole that. You shouldn't have stolen it. They never did pay it back. How could they steal it when they've been working for them for nothing for 400 years? God had just given them the pay that they should have already paid them. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to notice here that they no doubt brought their bread bowls out of Egypt. You know, their kneading bowls. Over there in Exodus 8 where God sent the plague of frogs, you know, it said they would, frogs were everywhere.
Yeah.
They was in the bread bowls. They was in everything. Something about them old bread bowls. How many's got their grandmother or their mother's old bread bowl? Yeah, amen. Don't you wish you had her with it?
Amen.
Amen. Making that bread and them biscuits and all of that, amen.
Amen.
But there's something about them old bread bowls. They brought them out of Egypt, Eddie. They brought a lot of other stuff out of Egypt.
Amen.
But they never brought this man out of Egypt.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That manna was not of this world.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I tell you, I'm talking about how Jesus came. He came from up there.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's where that manna come from. It come from up there.
Yeah.
That's where he came from. He came from up there. He didn't come out of this world. Some people try to tell you Joseph was his father and he was a good man and just a prophet and those things. Oh no, he came down from up there.
Amen.
He came from above. Amen.
Amen.
Just like that manna did.
Praise the Lord.
Can I tell you, he came at the night time. Look at Numbers, over Numbers. Look at verse 9, Numbers 11, verse 9. The Bible said, when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. That manna came at night. That's when it came. I'm talking about how this illustrates how Jesus came. He came from above. And he came in the night. Amen.
Amen.
While shepherds watched their flock. He came in the night, not only the night period, but he came in the night of darkness. 400 years of silence. 400 years of darkness. And thank God, he came. Amen.
Amen.
Sure glad he came, aren't
yeah.
you?
Amen.
This world's dark tonight. Boy, it'd be a lot darker if he had to come, wouldn't it?
Right.
He came, the Bible said, with the dew. Do you know that dew is type of the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. You know rain's good and everything. Most farmers say a good, slow, gentle rain is better than a real hard flash flood. Amen? Because it all runs off. And I like, you know, get in services where the Lord just floods us out. Amen? But that runs off pretty quick. But Brother Eddie, just that gentle rain, just that gentle teaching of Sunday school, and that preaching just every day, that's what soaks in. Amen?
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people think the dew's not important. The dew is important.
Oh yeah.
When you think about Elijah, he said, Lord, he said, I don't want it to rain for 3.5 years, not even any dew.
Mm.
Now, brother, You may not get no rain, but if you're still getting dew, you'd be surprised how far that dew will take you. How much that dew will do. Amen.
Yeah.
The dew always looks so pure when it's hanging on a little leaf, it looks so distilled as it's come down from above. It's been through the Lord's processing system. It's been through the Lord's purification system.
Man.
And we think of the dew as being pure. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit come down from above.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is pure.
Yes.
Amen.
That's why He's called holy.
Amen.
That's why we ought to be holy. He lives within us.
Right.
You know, that's why we ought to witness. He's called the Spirit of Witness. So if He's in there, He ought to witness every now and then.
Amen. Amen.
Look here in Psalms 133, in verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ornament upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment, Aaron's the priest. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore.
Amen.
Now that's all talking about, that's all a type of the Holy Spirit when you study it out. Did you notice how it said it's good when brethren dwell together in unity?
Amen.
You say, why? The Holy Spirit won't come if there's a bunch of disunity in the church.
Amen.
Won't come. Amen. Breeze him. Then notice how that the ornament ran all the way down. Just saturated, covered everything about him. The Holy Spirit's like that. He wants to fill our life.
Amen.
Jesus came at night. And the Bible said this manna came on the dew. Jesus came on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Bible said the Holy Ghost would move upon Mary. Amen. She'd conceive. And what she did, amen.
Yeah.
And notice this, looking at verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold the face of the wilderness. Notice where it came. It came where they were.
Amen.
Amen.
They were in the wilderness, and this manna, it didn't fall away off somewhere else, but it came right where they were.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Jesus came right where we were.
Yeah. Amen. Glory to God.
He came down here to where we lived,
yeah,
and where we're at. Thank God. Thank God. Glad we did. Amen.
Amen.
You know what He said? I come in. And went back there shaking a few hands before service started, and I shook Sister Connie's hand, and she said, "What is it?" I said, "That's what I'm preaching on tonight."
Yeah.
"What is it?" She said, "What is it?" I said, "Well, you have to wait and listen to me preach." Amen. But if you look here at verse 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wished not what it was. In other words, they were saying, "What is this? We don't know what this is." It was a mystery. You know, Christ comes is a mystery.
Right.
1 Timothy 3, verse 16.
Amen.
The Bible says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness."
Amen.
Now that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed on in the world. He said it was a great mystery. You can't figure it out. Don't go to hell trying to figure it out. Just believe it. Go to heaven.
Amen.
Because it is a mystery that you cannot figure out. Thank God. It's beyond us.
Amen.
But I just know He came.
Yeah.
I know He came from up there.
Yeah, took His abode.
I know He came to my darkened heart.
Amen. Yeah, man.
I know the Holy Spirit brought Him to me.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Spirit, He brought Jesus to where you were in that pew that day.
Amen.
Don't you see your need of Him?
Amen.
I know I'm saved, born again, but I can't explain it all.
Right.
I can't explain it. I know there's been a dramatic change in my life. Sometimes I just sit down and think about where I was and think about my life when I was out. I got saved early, but I got back out in the world, and I think about where my life was back then. But then when the Lord, the Holy Spirit came to me again as about a 25-year-old man, life messed up and needing the Lord, I thank God the Holy Spirit brought Him to me, and I rededicated my life back to God.
Amen.
And have been trying to live for Him ever since.
Amen.
I can't explain it all. I mean, how could a 15-foot trip down to an altar change a man's life, and his views, his desires, his love? How could that be? Supernatural.
Right.
So Holy Spirit, it's a mystery. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say this. He came to rebellious people.
Yes.
Remember last time we preached on this chapter, the very first part of it, and God had blessed them. He brought them across the Red Sea. They were singing. They were dancing. They were having a great time. 3 days later into the wilderness, they're murmuring. They're complaining. They already want to go back.
Amen.
They didn't deserve manna. They didn't deserve it.
Amen.
They deserved to be just let go. They deserved to just leave them alone, let them die in the wilderness. But God came to them even though they were rebellious people.
Amen.
If the Lord hadn't come to rebellious people, they wouldn't have none of us be here tonight.
That's right.
Because we were all a bunch of rebels against God.
Amen.
The Bible said we were enemies. We were alienated from God. We were at war with God, James says.
Yeah.
But thank God he came to where we were. And I'm so glad he did tonight, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. We see this manna explains who Jesus is. This manna illustrates how Jesus came. But it also, this manna shows us what to do with Jesus. Look at verse 16, 17. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take you every man for them that are in his tent. You notice you could gather it and take it to somebody else, but you couldn't eat it for them.
Yeah.
Amen. You can take Jesus to somebody else, but you can't make them take him.
Amen.
Amen. And he said the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, more or less, and said some more, some less. You know, you just get as much of him what you want.
That's right.
I know we're complete in him, and I know when you get saved, you don't get 3/4 or a feel for the Holy Spirit. You get him all. I know that.
Yeah.
Understand that. We all just get as much as what we want, Lord.
That's right.
There's plenty out there. Plenty of manna. We all just kind of gather what we want.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what we do. He said some more or some less. You see, some people, they just crazy about Jesus. And all they talk about is Jesus. Woo! And Jesus this and Jesus that. And you see, some people, they're saved too, but they never mention in a month of Sundays. Some more, some less. But then look here. This going to tell us what they did with the manna and what they didn't do with the manna, or what they should have done with the manna and what they didn't do with the man. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says when they did meet it, with an omer they gathered much, had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Now let's first of all, let's look at what they shouldn't do with it, okay? First of all, he said to just gather enough, you know, for each day. And he said so many words, and put it to you this way, don't go on Sunday morning and try to get enough of Jesus in you to last you for 2 months and then come back in 2 months.
Amen.
That won't work. It'll bred worms and stink.
Yes.
That's what a lot of people do, Brother Nathan. They want to come and get a little manna and then go out the door and gather enough that they think, I don't need to go back anymore. You need to go every time. Amen.
Amen.
Every time the door's open, you need to go.
That's right.
When Nathan was out visiting the other day, my heart was so sad. I went to see a fella. He used to come to church here, some, not much, but some. And we met him there, and we went in. He seemed glad to see me, and I was glad to see him. And he said they just moved in there, and I said, good. He said, I got married. I said, good. And I said, have you found a church yet? And he said, oh, I got to tell you, I converted over to Catholicism. My wife's a Catholic. I converted over to Catholicism. I said, you did what? He said, there's not really that much difference. And like they say, I said, oh, there's a whole lot of difference.
you.
Amen. There's a whole lot of difference.
Amen.
I wish somebody could answer this question, maybe. Why is it when men marry women and the man's a Baptist, raised up a Baptist, solid Baptist, so it seems like, and then they marry somebody that's a Catholic or Mormon or somebody like that, they marry them, and they always, the man always goes with the woman. What is that? I'll tell you why it is. You got a bunch of little weaselly men.
Amen.
Amen. That's like some of these men, you know. I've seen it happen here. God knows I have. I don't mean to make nobody mad. I'm just telling the truth. But I've seen these men, you couldn't hold time and drag them in church with a four-wheel drive. They'll get sweet on some good Christian lady over here. Boy, they'll come to church every Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Look like it's going to be all right. And the question comes, preacher, we're going to get married. Will you marry us? Well, yeah, we've been coming to church every service. It's going to work out good. When he says I do to her, he says I don't to the church. And he's done. Amen. He don't come no more. I've seen that happen over and over and over again. It's pitiful. Amen. It's pitiful. I tell you, if I married a woman, I married a woman that was a Methodist, I got to change over, bless God.
Amen.
It took a while. Probably the first 10 years or 15 years, we talked about her sprinkling my baptism. But she finally saw the light. Amen.
Glory.
Old Dr. Lakin used to tell the Methodist preachers, and I got some good Methodist friends, there's some good Methodist preachers, and boy, if you ever read them old circuit ride Methodist preachers' books, buddy, they had their goods, they had the stuff, if you ever read them. You get old Peter Cartwright's book and read it, you'll wonder if you're even saved, you get up with it.
Amen.
I mean, them old time Methodists, I don't know nothing about these new time, but them old time, they knew God.
Amen.
Yes, sir, they did. But old Dr. Lakin used to tell him, he'd say, he said, if you'll come under, I'll come over. Amen. And that's right. So here we are, and we're talking about how this man impeaches the Lord, what we're supposed to do with him. And one of the things we're not to do is we're not to gather a bunch in one service and then think that'll do us for a while.
Amen.
Well, we need it fresh every day.
Amen.
Now, some of us eat more than others as you look around and tell. We all eat some.
Yeah.
We all eat some every day unless you're sick. Lord, get some of Jesus every day.
Amen.
Amen. He said that man's not to live by bread alone, some being a colonial bunny bread. I mean, I know all of them. I like them all. I've tried them all. Potato bread. It's all good. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of bread, isn't there? A whole lot of different kinds.
Yeah,
but everybody ought to eat some, and every Christian, I beg you, I plead with you, read some of your Bible every day.
Amen.
I told a man this week, I said, read some of your Bible. I said, if you just read one verse a day and you hadn't been reading any, I said, that's better than what you was doing, but read it every day.
Amen.
Brother Rick, I just don't like the Bible. You know, there's some things in my life that I didn't like. I kept eating them. I developed appetite for them. Now, there's some things out there that I've never been able to get an appetite for. It hadn't been too long ago. My wife, she likes cottage cheese and pears and peaches and all that. And I just never have really liked it. And I thought, Melvin, I got to think about that. And I thought, well, maybe that's just because of the way it looks. I can't really remember ever even trying it, Kenny. I don't remember ever even trying cottage cheese. So one night I thought, I'm going to try it. Didn't like it. Just like I thought, sour milk. I didn't like it. But there's some things, Brother Jack, I used to didn't like. I developed an appetite for it. And I'll tell you that if you'll eat some of the Word of God every day, you'll develop an appetite for it. The next thing you know, you'll be wanting some every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, more than desired.
Then he said this. Look back over Numbers 11. And he said, look at verse 4, and that mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish. We did it in Egypt freely. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. All that stuff smells. It's all smelly stuff. It's all stuff that'll get your stomach upset. Amen. Now Jack probably disagreed with me on the onions. And Cheryl won't eat onions. She says, cut the tops off of them, set them on the table. You won't get the flu. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, put them or cut them in half, put them in your socks when you go to bed, and you won't get the flu. Amen. I'll tell you something else, you won't get nobody sleeping with you either. Amen. You do that. But if it works, go ahead and try it. She's made me fearful enough that I won't eat them off a salad bar anymore. She said, don't eat them if you go into Shawnee's or somewhere and they got them onions in there. Said them onions are all day soaking up all them viruses. And she made believe it out of me, I won't eat them, but I got the flu anyway. Amen. But they said, our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna. Uh-oh. That manna's a type of Jesus.
Amen.
They got tired of Jesus. They got tired of the manna. See, that's where you get all these new deals and springing up, all these different spirits and Bibles and music and all that. And you say what? Well, they're tired of Jesus. They get tired of Jesus. You get tired of Jesus, there's something wrong with you. Yeah. Amen. And he said the manna was as a colander seed. In other words, this manna had life in it. Jesus had life in him.
That's right.
He came and I might have life. He said the people went about and gathered it, ground it in meals, and beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as a taste of fresh oil. Did you notice how many things you could do with it? I mean, they've done 5 or 6 things that's mentioned there. They've done with the manna. You can do a whole lot with Jesus.
Amen.
You can receive him and get saved. You can testify about Jesus. You can preach about Jesus. You can sing about Jesus.
Amen.
Do all kinds of stuff with Jesus.
That's right, Brother Rick.
Amen. It's like bread, you know. You do all kinds of stuff with bread. You can put butter on it. Eat it that way. You can toast it. Amen. You can put jelly on it. You may put gravy over it. I got to get this sermon done.
Amen.
I'm going to Cracker Barrel tonight. I don't know if anybody else is or not, but I'm heading that way. Praise God. My granddaughter's back there saying, I'm going. But I'm saying tonight, don't miss that. If Jesus is born to you, you just don't know all the things you do with Jesus.
Amen.
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 It said they got to complaining about it. We're tired. We're tired of this preaching about Jesus. We're tired of this teaching about Jesus. We want some new type, some new stuff. Don't ever get tired of that manna. Did you know they eat that for 40 years? You say, well, no wonder they're tired of it. Well, I'm 60 and I've been eating pinto beans ever since I've been old enough to chew something up. I ain't tired of them. Are you, Brother Gordon? He's older than I am, and he's not tired of them. I'm not tired of cornbread. I've been eating it a long time.
Hey.
Amen.
You say, why? Because it's good, and Jesus is good.
Yeah.
And you'll never get tired of him. Amen.
Right.
You say, how long to eat that until he came into the promised land?
Amen.
How long to eat it? Amen. All right, let me finish up here. First of all, here's what they ought to have done with it and what they did. But they needed to desire it. You remember in verse 3 of chapter 16, they were hungry. That's what started the murmuring, complaining. They said, we need something to eat. We're going to die out here. We're going to starve to death. We're going to die of hunger. They were hungry. So when that manna first came, it was good to them. Because they were hungry. But after they kept eating it, they got tired of it. Amen. Now listen, here it is. When you're hungry for spiritual food, it don't really matter If Nathan serves it, Eddie Wade serves it, Jimmy Hood serves it, Brother Rick serves it, Brother Larry serves it. It don't really matter who serves it. If you're hungry,
amen.
It'll be good.
Amen.
But you see, if you're full, it don't matter. If Billy Graham was here, you wouldn't want it. You know why people don't really want preaching the Word of God? They're so full of the world and other things. And they're not really hungry for the Word of God. But boy, if you find somebody that's hungry,
amen. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst.
My grandmother, bless the memory of her tonight. I loved her. Thank you, Lord.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
My grandma, Prophet. Oh, she was really such a wonderful cook. She would, she loved to cook, and I don't know why, Eddie, but she'd cook a roast, potatoes, green beans, cornbread. And she'd put it in the oven in the summertime. Summertime in the oven, in bowls, no saran wrap over it, nothing over it.
Amen.
We'd be cutting tobacco or milking the cows or whatever we're doing. We go back there, get that out that afternoon. Next day. So what's wrong with your ladies cooking? I don't keep like that. But I'd come in from tobacco cutting and be hot, sweaty, wore completely out that afternoon. She'd come in there and set the table, put that roast out there, that cornbread out there, a big cold glass of milk sitting there, and she'd have them. They were green beans, but they were black. You know what I mean? They were actually purple beans. And when she cooked them in an old black kettle, they was just black as Eddie's suspenders here when they got done. And she'd raise them tomatoes that'd be bigger than my hand. Woo! Slice them, and a big slice of tomato on there. Brother, pull up her that table. And I've done it a million times. I pulled up her that little gray table with a silver ring running around it. And I get ready to eat. And she's pulled up a chair, sitting there, and I say, Grandma, and she's a lady. She said, no, boy, I just like to watch you eat. Don't you know God likes to look out of heaven and see His children just eating up the Word of God and glad to get it and grabbing every morsel. Don't you know God looks down and says, boy, I just like to see my children eat the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
We're hungry. Look here, verse 20, actually 19, says Moses said, let none leave it till the morning.
That's right.
And then he said that some of them left it till the morning. But not only were they desired, but they did seek it early. Early. A lot of people don't like to see these kids get saved. You know, I like to see them get saved.
Amen.
Because the Bible said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come not nigh. I like to see them get saved as soon as they get old enough to know what it is. And I like to see them come to the altar and trust Christ and say, why? Get them in, amen. Because if they get out there in the heat of the day, they get out there going on over the dinner time hour, life speaking, I tell you, a lot of times they never get saved. Never get saved. Get him early. Get him early. Then he said they were to seek it daily. I've done mention that. Here's the last thing I'll let you go tonight. But the Bible said it failed there.
Amen.
Bible said it failed. Look at it there in verse 14. On the ground. On the ground. So to get that manna, they had to do this.
Amen.
Yeah. Or they had to do this to get that manna.
Amen. Way down.
You see, that's how you got to do to get Jesus. You got to get down. You got to get humble. Amen.
Amen.
You can't get it up here. You can look at it all day long up here, but you couldn't get it.
No,
you had to be willing to. To get down there where he laid it, you got to get down there low.
Hey,
yes. Get him, amen. Jesus was meek and lowly. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
In a church, they they had a water fountain. And it was an unusual fountain, kind of like it was made for kids or something, but really it wasn't. And the water fountain was real low, real low. And a visitor walked in there one day, and he wanted some water, and he seen it was real low. And he looked around and said, what's the deal with the water fountain? And the church member said, look, the sign. He looked up there in the sign and said, who's ever willing to stoop low and get a good drink of water?
Praise God.
Woo! Yeah, man.
Praise God.
Who's ever willing to stoop low and get a good drink of water?
Amen.
That's how you get him.
Yeah. Humble yourself.
He's there. You just got to get down there where he's at and reach out and get him and take him and receive him. Amen.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that manna. That manna's about the Lord.
Praise him.
That's why he told them people on the Emmaus Road in the volume of the book it's written to me.
That's right.
All in that book.
Hey.
Some great preacher, I can't remember who, but he said, look for Jesus on every page of the Bible.
Yeah.
And he said, if you don't find him on a page, said, look around the corner, he'll be waving at you over there.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for folks that have come tonight. Thank you for the good spirit to preach here tonight, the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the manna. Lord, I'm glad I've had some. As Jesus told them people, what they eat, it's gone. What they eat, it lasts for a while, but it was finally gone. But the manna, the true manna that come down from heaven is you, Lord. And when we eat of that bread, as we read tonight, we'll never hunger. Amen. It's satisfying bread, sufficient, Lord, for us. Thank you, Father, for the true manna that came down from heaven, your Son, Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Pray that you have. If anyone needs to come tonight, may there be the liberty here that will allow them to do that. If someone needs help at the altar tonight, maybe not salvation, maybe just needs help tonight in some way, Lord, help them to be able to come tonight. I feel your presence here tonight. I know you want to help folks. Lord, if there is one tonight not saved, I pray tonight they might come up here to this altar and stoop down and get low and receive the man and receive the Lord Jesus. Receive that drink of water that he said if you take it, you'll never thirst again.
Amen.
With your head still bowed, your eyes still closed, would you stand, please, to your feet? Head bowed, eyes closed. I wonder tonight if there's someone here tonight. What I hope after tonight, I hope that you didn't, like me, just get hungry for physical food tonight.
Yes.
But I hope you got hungry for Jesus.
Yes.
If you're here tonight and you've never received the Lord into your life, I wonder tonight if you'd lift your hand up and say, pray for me, Brother Ricky. I'm not saved. And I've never received the Lord. And I need prayer. I wonder for someone tonight. I'd like to help you tonight. I won't embarrass you. I wouldn't do that, but I'd like to when I go to my prayer closet this week and pray, I'd like to put your name in there, your face, your uplifted hand, and say, Lord, help me to find the true manna that comes from heaven. Is there one tonight? Slip their hand up tonight.
Help me.
And say, I need that, brother. Pray for me. Pray for me. Wonder tonight if there's one tonight. You say, Brother Rick, he's going through a hard time like Brother Hood preached about this morning.
Help me.
I just need the Lord to help me right now.
Help me.
Wonder if you slip your hand up. Sees those hands, several hands with it. God sees those hands. And as we sing around here sometimes, does Jesus care? Yes, he does.
Yes.
Yes, he does. You pray and ask him and then watch him pray. Help will show up some way or another. Show up for you some way or another. Lord, help us tonight in these closing moments of this service. Brother Nathan leads us in a song. If you need to come pray, you come. If you're here tonight, you say, Brother Rick, I'm not saved. I don't know how to be. I'll take this book right here and show you what God wrote in there about how you need to get saved. As we sing.
Number 295. 295.
Oh, friend, we have in Jesus.
Sister Donna's up here praying. She was up here this morning praying. Let's just pray. She's got some doctor's appointments this week. It's extra help. Pray for each other. All right. Brother Nathan, you lead us, please.
Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your service tonight. Showing up, Lord, in such hearts, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just pray, Lord,
for us. Lord,
just help Sister Donna.
More than anyone, a lot of people in this church pray for on a daily basis. I'm sure it's that prayer, Lord, that she'll make it good as what she can. Lord, she's going back to the doctor this week. Lord, they go to school. Lord, you give them a gift of wisdom, Lord, and understanding in the body and things of that type of tune. God, we pray that you'll help them to be able to help her tonight. God, I pray. Lord, sometimes even better than physical help, Lord, we'll get spiritual help, emotional help, mental help, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to face the trials of this life with faith, Lord. Lord, with the right attitude, most of all, with knowing the Lord's with us, He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us.
We're
thankful she was able to make both services today. I know that'll be health and help, Lord, to her spiritual body. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you would please hear and answer prayers, Lord, that you would just thank you so much for being among us tonight in this service, Lord. We just reach out to you tonight, Lord. We're so thankful that we serve a God that cares about us, Lord, and has a desire to hear from us, Lord. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not, Lord. People are asking tonight, Lord, to hear from you and hear from above, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you just meet these requests tonight, Lord.
I appreciate the preaching.
Lord, that might be even more real to us tonight, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for each and every one, Lord, just to continue to help, Lord, and comfort and guide and direct us, Lord, in the ways that you want us to go.
Lord, we took for granted today.
Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us again tonight,
Lord. Oh, Father, you've been good to us, Lord.
Yes.
You give us the good one.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this good day in the Lord's house.
Yes.
Yes. Lord, we've received so much today that people in other places, Lord, would have just died and thought they'd already went to heaven if they'd had the day we've had today.
Yes.
Help us to be thankful, not ungrateful, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. I pray. God bless you.
All right, let's stand again if you would. And those of you that aren't standing, we're going to be dismissed tonight in prayer. And we do thank you for